Welcome to thatchristianwebsite.com. Today's sermon is entitled, The Sons of Jacob. When we look to our Bible history, we think of patriarchs, those founding fathers of our faith. We think of Abraham, whose faith is legendary and mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. We think of Isaac, his son, who was put upon an altar and was nearly sacrificed. And we think of Jacob. Jacob, the one who stole a blessing from his brother Esau. Jacob, the one who wrestled with an angel. Jacob, the one who had a vision of a ladder reaching to heaven, angels ascending and descending. We think of Jacob many times because of the time he spent for love. He spent 7 years working for Laban to obtain the wife Rachel. Of course, it didn't work out quite so smoothly. First, he had to marry Leah, Laban's daughter. Then he worked another 7 years for Rachel. In doing so, we find that not only did Jacob end up marrying Leah and Rachel, but he also ended up with obligations toward their handmaids, Zilpah and Bilhah. Now today we want to focus on some of Jacob's sons, specifically those sons of the first wife, Leah. Her sons were Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. And we can read about them in Genesis chapter 29 and verses 32 through 35. And let us take that moment now to do so. Genesis 29, verse 32. And Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben. For she said, because the Lord has seen my afflictions, surely now my husband will love me. Now what a statement. Why would she say something like that? Well, because Jacob's heart, though he was married to Leah, really resided with Rachel. It was her that he desired to marry first, her that he desired to marry only, and her to whom he had given his heart. Now verse 33. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. So she named him Simeon. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she named him Judah, and she stopped bearing. She has 4 sons, and her focus on the first 3 is, oh, I must please my husband. I must garner his love. I will do that by having these sons. But as it turns out, when she has the 4th son, her focus is the Lord. This time I will praise the Lord, is what she has stated. Now I want to focus on the sons, and I want to move to Genesis now, in Genesis chapter 35. There in verse 22, we're going to read the following words. And it came about, while Israel was dwelling in the land, that Reuben, now remember Reuben is the first son of Leah, Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. This was a blasphemous action, a sinful action on the part of Reuben. This was betrayal. We need to remember this as we move forward in this reading. We want to look next at Genesis chapter 34. We've seen what happens to the first son, the oldest son. What about Simeon and Levi, the next 2 oldest sons? Well, verse 1 of chapter 34 of Genesis. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to visit the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her, he took her and lay with her by force. And he was deeply attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl and spoke tenderly to her. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, get me this young girl for a wife. Now Jacob heard that he had defiled his daughter, but his sons were with his livestock in the field, so Jacob kept silent until they came in. Then Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. Now the sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very angry, because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by laying with Jacob's daughter, for such a thing ought not to be done. But Hamor spoke with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him in marriage, and intermarry with us. Give your daughters to us, and take our daughters for yourselves. Thus you shall live with us, and the land shall be open before you. Live and trade in it, and acquire property in it." Shechem also said to her father and to her brothers, "If I find favor in your sight, then I will give whatever you say to me. Ask me ever so much bridal payment and gift, and I will give it according as you say to me. But give me the girl in marriage." But Jacob's sons answered Shechem and his father Hamor with deceit, and spoke to them because he had defiled Dinah their sister. And they said to them, "We cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be a disgrace to us. Only on this condition will we consent to you, if you will become like us, and every male of you be circumcised. Then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters for ourselves, and we will live with you and become one people. But if you will not listen to us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughters and go." Now their words seemed reasonable to Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man did not delay to do this thing, because he was delighted with Jacob's daughter. Now he was more respected in all the household of his father. So Hamor and his son Shechem came to the gate of their city, and spoke to the men of the city, saying, "These men are friendly with us, therefore let them live in the land and trade in it. For behold, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters in marriage and give our daughters to them. Only on this condition will the men consent to live with us, to become one people, that every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. Will not their livestock and their property and all their animals be ours? Only let us consent to them, and they will live with us." And all who went out of the gate of the city listened to Hamor and to his son Shechem, and every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of the city. Now it came about on the third day, when they were in pain, that two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi — now these are the boys that we are speaking of, the second and third oldest of Leah, the second and third oldest of Jacob's sons — said, "Dinah's brothers each took a sword, and came upon the city unaware, and killed every male. And they killed Hamor and his son Shechem with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah from Shechem's house, and went forth. Jacob's sons came upon the slain, and looted the city, because they defiled their sister. They took the flocks of the herds, their donkeys, and that which was in the city, and that which was in the field. They captured and looted all the wealth, and all their little ones, and their wives, even all that was in the houses. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, 'You have brought trouble on me by making me odious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And my men being few in number, they will gather together against me and attack me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my household.' But they said, 'Shall he treat our sister as a harlot?'" These boys, Simeon and Levi, were pretty rough characters. They hear of this defilement of their sister, and while their father is angered, clearly the sons were evidently more angered. They hear this request about the marriage. They let and deceive these men about becoming circumcised. And then when they're weak, Simeon and Levi, of course, they come in and they destroy these men and they take everything. So we've covered three different boys at this moment: Reuben, the oldest, and Simeon and Levi. Let's go now to Genesis chapter 49. In Genesis 49, we see Jacob in his last days. Jacob is about to die. Israel, as he would be called, is about to die. And he is now going to bring forth prophecy regarding his sons. There in verse 3, to Reuben, "You are my firstborn, my mighty in the beginning of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. Uncontrolled as water, you shall not have preeminence, because you went up to your father's bed, you defiled it. He went up to my couch." Basically, in this time frame, the firstborn was to receive a special blessing. But this was not to be with Reuben. Why? He's essentially being cursed here by his father because of his sinfulness. Now we go on to Simeon and Levi, here in verse 5 of Genesis 49. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their council. Let not my glory be united with their assembly. Because in their anger they slew men, and in their self-will they lamed oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will dispense them into Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So here now again is the second blessing, and to these boys, the second and third oldest, we see a curse. Why? Because of their wrath, which they demonstrated. Now, we move on to the next of Leah's son, and that would be Judah. That is there in verse 8. Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares rouse him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. He ties his foal to the vine, his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth white from milk. We see a favorable prophecy in regard to Judah. Judah is one who said that those will bow down to him. Well, how is this? Well, in part, this is prophecy of Jesus Christ. This is certainly a prophecy that we will see, and it affects us in a very pertinent way today. But now let's go, and we want to go through a time frame of about 430 years. From the time frame of these boys, just now in the land of Egypt, all the way through to the exodus of Israel from Egypt. Therefore, we're going to move into Exodus chapter 39. And in this chapter, we specifically, and in the next discussion that we have here, we want to look at the history of Simeon and Levi, two boys, again, who were cursed through the prophecy of their father. Now, in Exodus chapter 32, we have Moses, and he's on Mount Sinai. And in Exodus 32, he comes down, and he's going to see that the people are worshiping the golden calf. There in verse 19, it came about as soon as Moses came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder, scattered it over the surface of the water, and made the sons of Israel drink it. Then Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought such great sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord burn. You know the people yourself, that they are prone to evil. For they said to me, 'Make a God for us who will go before us.' For this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let them tear it off." So they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. Now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." Now this is a very significant moment in Israel's history. Moses basically draws a line in the sand and says, if you're going to serve God, you come to this line, because they have already come and followed, supposedly going to serve God out of Egypt. But at this point, they're not serving God. So Moses draws this line. The next sentence, all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. So they cross the line and say, Moses, we're standing with you, and we're standing, furthermore, with God. Now, verse 27 of Exodus 32. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every man of you put a sword upon his thigh and go back and forth from the gate to gate in camp. Kill every man his brother and every man his friend and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. And Moses said, "Dedicate yourselves today to the Lord, for every man has been against his son, against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today." Wow. You know, it is very interesting, certainly from the standpoint of what we're looking at now, Israel turning to idol worship. They're given a chance here to stand before God. Levi only stands for God, that cursed people, they stand as the judges of the people. And what does Simeon do? Simeon, they choose the world. They're on the other side, though they still will have an open door to serve God, as we shall see. The other interesting aspect is, you'll notice, this is the day the covenant is given. The old covenant, the law of Moses. And on that time frame, there is 3,000 deaths. We can look forward to the future at the new covenant, that on the day of Pentecost when the church is established, and there are 3,000 lives saved through Jesus Christ. But we continue here and we see the contrast now. Though two men were cursed, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of Simeon, Levi now stands for God. Let's jump forward to Deuteronomy, and we're going to look specifically at chapter 10 now. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 5 to start out with. Then we'll jump down to 8. At this point, Moses has gone up to the mountain. Again, he's rewritten the tablets, the Ten Commandments. "Then I turned and came down from the mountain and put the tablets in the ark which I had made. And there they are as the Lord commanded me." Now let's jump down to verse 8. "At that time the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to serve him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Therefore Levi does not have a portion or an inheritance with his brother. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God spoke to him." Here we have the tribe of Levi, and they're set apart. Why? They're set apart to carry the ark of the Lord, or in what way? And to serve him. This is a group of men, a tribe, that was cursed. Now they have a blessing. And they are also noted they will have the Lord as an inheritance. Look also now to Joshua chapter 13. Joshua 13, and we're going to look at verse 14 of our text. "Only to the tribe of Levi he did not give an inheritance. The offerings by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he spoke to them." So we have them ordained as ministers, we have them put in the service of transporting the ark, and we have them receiving offerings of the fire from the Lord, that were offerings that were given to the Lord for the people. This is what they are granted. Now they are also scattered. Part of the curse that they had, of course, from their original sin, from their abundant anger. And that is seen in Joshua chapter 21, and we read verses 3 and 4. "So the sons of Israel gave the Levites from their inheritance these cities with their pasture lands according to the command of the Lord. Then the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites, and the sons of Aaron the priests, who were of the Levites, received 13 cities by lot from the tribe of Judah, and from the tribe of Simeonites, and from the tribe of Benjamin." What was bleak for the Levites, for the tribe of Levi, didn't turn out so bleak. To have the Lord as in their inheritance, to get these cities, though they are scattered in that as part of their curse, to be able to receive the offerings by fire, this is a blessing upon this people that were once cursed. But what about Simeon? Is he still cursed? Well, remember, he didn't cross over to serve God on that fateful day when the people turned to idolatry. Joshua 19, we want to look here now at verses 1 through 9, and we want to see what was the inheritance of Simeon. Verse 1, chapter 19, Joshua. Then the second lot fell to Simeon, to the tribe of the sons of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance was in the midst of the inheritance of the sons of Judah. So they had as their inheritance Beersheba, and Sheba, and Moldon, Hazar Shuel, and Bala, and Ezim, and Eltolad, and Bethul, and Hormah, and Ziklag, and Barth Makaboth, and Hazar Susa, and Beth Leboth, and Shurahen, 13 cities with their villages, Ain, Rimmon, Ether, Ashan, 4 cities with their villages, and all the villages which were around these cities, as far as Baalath-beer, Ramah of the Negev. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Simeon according to their families. The inheritance of the sons of Simeon was taken from the portion of the sons of Judah, for the share of the sons of Judah was too large for them. So the sons of Simeon received an inheritance in the midst of Judah's inheritance. Simeon doesn't have a bordered land. Simeon is scattered among a few cities. Simeon really does not receive an inheritance. They receive a portion from Judah. Now I want to note, as we look at the history of Simeon and Levi, that the prophecy from back there in Genesis 49, that curse of scattering, was fulfilled in both the case of Simeon and Levi. Now Levi, with the inheritance of the Lord, we need to look a little closer at these Levites. The Levites are really separated into three categories. First, there is the high priest. The high priest is one who is allowed only into the Holy of Holies. Now, the Holy of Holies is that specific most holy area of the tabernacle. Out from that, you have the holy place, and then you have the general courtyard area of the tabernacle. The second group of priests within the Levites are the ones that serve in the holy place. This would be the sons of Aaron, which, of course, when you think of the high priest now, the high priest is also of the sons of Aaron, because he has to go through the holy place into the Holy of Holies. Those in the holy place are sons of Aaron, and they minister at the altar of incense. In that area of the holy place, there's also the table of showbread and the candlestick. The third group of Levites that we need to be aware of are those that care for the service of the sanctuary. Now, for all of the Levites, they do have very special duties. Let's look to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33. And we're going to read verses 8 through 11 in this chapter. Beginning with 8, and of Levi he said, this is Moses giving a blessing, let thy Thummim and thy Urim, which we don't know what these are now, just in case somebody wants to know, but let these belong to thy godly man, whom thou didst prove at Massah, with whom thou didst contend at the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and his mother, I did not consider them, and he did not acknowledge his brothers, nor did he regard his own sons, for they observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach thine ordinances to Jacob, and thy law to Israel. They shall put incense before thee, and the whole burnt offerings on thine altar. O Lord, bless his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Shatter the loins of those who rise up against him, and those who hate him, so that they may not rise again. Within this text, specifically there in verse 10, we see that the Levites are to be teachers. They're the ones that are to share the law, the word, the will of God to all of Israel. This was the duty not only of the high priest and the priests of the holy place, that is the sons of Aaron, but of all Levites. Thus, in these duties, we see that those who are cursed really become a beacon for the people to look toward for guidance. The Levites were blessed by being entrusted with the duties to serve God. Now, if they failed to do these duties, they would be punished. And I think you can go to no more prominent place in the scriptures than to see Nadab and Abihu, gentlemen who offered up strange fire, not according to the commands of God. And of course, they are destroyed upon the spot. This is a great example when we go to consider our worship today. Are we doing exactly as God commanded? If not, sure destruction awaits us. Now, another example of priests not doing as they should, the Levites not doing as they should, and meeting dire consequences, is in Malachi chapter 2 and verses 1 through 9. And now this commandment is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, and indeed I have cursed them already, because you're not taking it to heart. Behold, I'm going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your feasts, and you'll be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence, so he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you a despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. Two examples here. First, that of Nadab and Abihu, and now that of disobedient Levites. In both cases, the results are unfavorable. They are not desired for this people. Now, we've looked so far at two boys, Simeon, who chose to serve the world, and the Levites. The Levites were indeed blessed to serve God. But in these last passages that we've looked at, we see that if they did still, though they were chosen, if they did not follow, they would be punished. Let us now make some parallels to that of Simeon and Levi. And we want to first do this looking at the Old Testament era. When we look at the Old Testament era, and we can look at the patriarchs, but specifically I want to focus on the Gentiles and the Hebrews. The Hebrews being the Israelites, the children of Abraham. All of these groups were cursed by sin. You look at Genesis 3:3, back with Adam and Eve. Of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And what did they do? They touched the fruit. And what did they do? They had a spiritual death. They sinned. They fell from the presence of God. We can look in Galatians 3:10. As many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. The Hebrews were to follow the law, but they were cursed when they stepped aside from doing so. And of course, we know all men have done that, because we can see in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Examples of men doing so throughout the Old Testament. We can have Adam, of course, involved with the fruit. We have Cain killing his brother, frustrated. Why? Because he did not follow the command of God and provide an offering by faith as he was commanded by God. We can see this at the Tower of Babel as men sought their own goals, how they did not follow God's command and spread throughout the world, multiply and fill the earth as commanded. We can see this also when we look toward Nineveh. Nineveh, a Gentile, a pagan city, but yet God sent them a prophet to get them to change their ways. And they did, at least for a period of a few generations. But yet all men have sinned. And this sin brings about a curse of a spiritual death. They are no longer in the image of God. So all are cursed by sin in this Old Testament era, and all receive the fruit of their deeds. We know in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. And Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So in this era of folks who were cursed, just as Simeon and Levi, who did they serve? Well, the Gentiles, we can call them, in this case, we'll call them the Simeons, served the God of the world. They served Satan. They followed after their own lust. They followed after desires of their flesh, their own self-pleasure, idols, money. They were not walking in the path that God would have them walk. They were not following by faith. Now the Hebrews, those chosen people of God, we can look at as the Levites, because the Levites were chosen specifically to serve God. Well, the nation, the Israelites, the Hebrews, of which those Levites were a part of, were as well. So in a broad sense, we can compare them to Levi. They choose to follow God. They cross through the water for their salvation. This all began when Abraham decides to draw a line in the sand with his faithfulness to God. Now, what was the sign at this point of their kinship? Well, the sign of their kinship, that is, being sons of God, was circumcision. All these groups, whether they were Gentile, whether they were the patriarchs, whether they were the Hebrews, all of them had an open door to serve God. I want to look at a couple of passages here. First, we'll start out with Romans chapter 2, and specifically we will look in verses 12 through 16. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law unto themselves, in order that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, the conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. They had the opportunity to serve and to serve by faith, but they did not. We can look also to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The life of the Hebrews, the Israelites, it wasn't done in a box. You know, the Gentiles had no excuse for not serving God. As the Israelites went through the land, the people were aware of who they were and who their God was. But still they did not serve. They indeed served the world. Now the Hebrews had commands to follow. We talked before about the Levites. Once they were chosen people, they had duties to follow. Well, so did those Hebrews. Exodus chapter 19, I'd like to read verses 5 and 6 of Exodus 19. In this text, we read, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the people, for all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." These people were set apart. They were chosen of God. They were to follow God. When they obeyed, they were blessed. And when they failed to do their duties, guess what? Just as Simeon and Levi, they would be punished. But as the Levites, they also had a duty to teach. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. These words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of the house and upon thy gates. This is a people that is cursed. This is a people that is chosen. And this is a people that must have duties and follow in those duties to not be punished of God. That's an Old Testament comparison. We see the Simeons, those who would serve the world, and we see the Levites, those who are chosen of God and those who must serve God. Now the New Testament era. What two groups do I want to look at? Well, first we want to look at non-Christians, but we also want to look at Christians as examples of Simeon, the non-Christians, and Levi, the Christians. First, we see both groups cursed with sin. All men again do sin, we know this. And again, both do receive the fruit of their deeds, whether it be upon this earth or ultimately in heaven. Who do they serve? Well, non-Christians. Those, for our comparison-wise, we'll call the Simeons, they serve the god of this world. They serve Satan. Christians, those we would call the Levites, choose to follow God. And, of course, this means, again, leaving their station of sin, their slavery of sin, and going through water for salvation. This time, though, their sign is somewhat different. Their sign is circumcision, but it's circumcised hearts. Let's look to Colossians chapter 2. And we will read verses 10 through 12, Colossians 2 and verses 10 through 12. And in him you've been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. I also want to look at Romans chapter 4 now. Romans 4, and we read verses 9 through 13. Is this blessing then upon circumcised or the uncircumcised alone? Or also, for we say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it reckoned? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, that he might be with the Father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness may be reckoned to them. And the Father of circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision, but who are also following the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. For the promise to Abraham, or to his descendants, that he would be heir of the world, was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. When we look at the sign now, that of a circumcised heart, not that of a circumcised body, we see that the sign is really the demonstration of their faith, is their works, is their deeds. That's how you know someone is a disciple, someone is a follower of God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Faith without works is dead. That's how we see the sign of a Christian. So who do those serve? They serve those who have the sign, those who have went through the water. They serve a God, and they serve so obediently. Now both groups, again, just as Simeon and Levi, just as the Gentiles and the Hebrews, both groups have an invitation to serve God. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Christians, being those set apart, have commands to follow just as those Levites. When they obey God, they will be blessed. Hebrews 5:8-9, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became unto all of them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. And then we've read before many times, John 8:32, but what about 31? Jesus said to those Jews that had believed him, if ye abide in my word, that is the works, that is the deed, that is the obedience to commands, then ye are truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. When as Christians we fail in our duties, just as Simeon, just as Levi, we will be punished. Matthew 10:32-33, everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. What greater denial do we have in our lives than not to demonstrate through our obedience of faith the will of the Father? Christians also have a duty to teach, just as all Levites, just as all priests did. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we read verse 24 in this text. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, and patient when wronged. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, we also see the exhortation for Christians to teach the word. There in verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Yes, we are engaged even in our worship to God and song in teaching one another. This is our command. This is our duty to, in our service to God. Now, as a reminder of what we've talked about, and a reminder in understanding the position as we have looked at this comparison of ourselves and the world to the Simeons and the Levites. As Christians, as the Levites did when they crossed that line with Moses, we stand to judge the world. We are judges by our examples of repentance and obedience. 1 Corinthians 6:2, or know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? If the world is judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And Luke 11:29-32, when the multitudes were gathering together unto him, he began to say, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given to it but the sign of Jonah. For even as Jonah became a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation, and shall condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall stand up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. It's not that we are the judges, but friends, we judge by our example. We judge by the standard, the words that Christ gave us. Did we live by those? That is what we will truly be judged by. It is our example in living in Christ that we will judge others. Ultimately, we are either Simeons or Levites. We're cursed as they are. We reap benefits of our actions as they did, whether it be good or evil. And it does not matter if you started out being cursed or you started out in a sinful life. You can get out of that situation. Look what the Levites did. Yes, they suffered from consequences of their physical actions. But if they were to serve God, they got a much greater reward. And ultimately, that sentence is not death. If you're a Christian, you must beware to be faithful. You have duties, just as those Levites did, and if you don't do them, you'll be punished. Now, ultimately, we've talked about the Simeons, we've talked about the Levites, we mentioned Judah. Judah, the one that all will bow down to. Friends, we will all bow down to that man from Judah, Jesus Christ. We will not only bow down, But if we are to have an inheritance, though we be scattered, we can come together and have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. Consider this, and consider where you stand. Consider the duty you have, the wonderful gift given from God of His Son, and make it not vain. Be obedient. Be a serving priest. Be a minister unto God. Make your life a living sacrifice. How do you do it? You can enter it through the waters of baptism. Why would you do such? Well, in hearing the word, you develop a faith. In that faith, you come to understand that Jesus is indeed our Lord and Savior. You understand that you must confess Him as such. You must repent. You must change from the things that you do today. Not just dunk yourself into water. But if you have that change in your heart and you want to change, then you are immersed in the water, just as the many examples that we see through Acts. And friends, it doesn't mean you won't sin. You'll certainly strive to do the will of God, but you have an advocate, as John chapter 2, verse 1 says. But all men will sin, as 1 John chapter 1 says. Your duty ultimately is to live by faith. Live by faith and endure. Friends, if we can help you in any way, please do contact us here at That Christian Website. And we do encourage you, regardless of your stance at the moment, please do continue to listen to us at thatchristianwebsite.com.